KFFSC, All-Purpose Roto Fantasy Tactics Show.
Oh yeah, Sean, every Tuesday we are already hitting it, getting ready for fantasy football, and you know we're 48 hours to draft day.
Man, it's getting awfully close. The long wait's finally over to have something to talk about besides rumors and things like that, so it's going to be great.
What part of the draft excites you more, seeing where the guys go and then excited about that rookie's potential that year or what you think of him, doing, for example? Or do you like to see what it does to the teams he goes to, like the other veterans? Which part of it do you like more?
Well, I think, we're always looking for something different. We've had so many battle scars with guys that are already there. I think that's why we love these shiny new rookies, because they haven't disappointed us yet. So we're always going to overvalue those guys. So it's always fun to think, if we put this running back with this great offensive line, things are automatically just going to be wonderful. Not always the case, but, that's always what we're thinking around draft time.
Every Tuesday, the KFFFC Expert Roundtable. We're starting up with our nice little pre-draft and draft plan this year. And as the season rolls out, Farrell, our commissioner, will bring in some of his best players and best experts, the guys that have won each year, guys that lose some years too, because we learn a lot from when we stumble each year. Farrell, I asked Sean about the draft. How about you? Do you like seeing where the rookie goes and seeing what that player might become? Or do you like seeing what it does to the veterans on the team he goes to?
I like all of it, Bobby. I'm like floating around in a 7-foot bathtub full of whipped cream, buddy. A dream night, man. I'm in the draft. It's like a comforter full of playmates for me. I love the draft.
This is getting some pretty ugly imagery, Sean.
Oh, it looks good in my head. I don't know why you guys can't get on board, because I'm really enjoying it.
Are you alone in the tub?
Oh, no.
That explains it. So that's why the picture is a little bit different. It's just slightly different. Hey, we got a couple good listener questions today. And
good listeners. So any question they ask is going to be good. Isn't that right?
He's always on their side. He's your man, folks. He's your man. He is a loyal son of a gun.
Our people. It wouldn't be a Bobby Butterfield show without the listeners.
It's true, man. You guys, what I'd like to hear from is the people that listened to us 5 years ago when we had like 400 downloads and 300 downloads. I'd like a couple of those people to email me and explain to me why you stuck with us. Because the 3,000 of you, I just figured you guys are just addicts for information. That's my only excuse for all of you.
They were waiting for Sean and me to show up. They were saying our saviors are coming. They're coming. They have faith in you, Bobby Butterfield, and they stuck with you. And look what you've built, an empire of just pure fantasy football knowledge that are going to help people win. So, so what do you want to know about the draft?
Empire of something. So this is – I'm going to go Josh Hughes. He's one of our newest people who signed up for the contest we'll talk about later. Farrell, he has a chance to win a free league. Let's talk about it. Josh Hughes writes in. We don't talk about this format very often. He asked for two quarterback leagues. Do you take Aaron Rodgers or Cam Newton with that second overall pick? Or does that philosophy of waiting – apply on quarterbacks, even in two quarterback leagues, and then you plan on grabbing like an Eli Manning, a Derek Carr, and then pair him with a Jameis Winston later on. So, and then of course, what he's asking there, he says, and then therefore locking up an elite running back or wide receiver instead. Let's start with you, Sean. Josh Hughes is asking in two QB leagues if you pass on that top quarterback or should you? And then if you do that, do you go late quarterback?
It's always been my philosophy in normal drafts to wait on the quarterback. I've only played a two-quarterback league on a couple of occasions, and my strategy of waiting on quarterback did not work in that situation. If you've got 12 teams in a league, everybody's taking two, it gets pretty slim pickings down the line. So, I think you almost have to get one pretty early, maybe not the number two overall pick, But, you know, I don't think you can wait around like I normally do in a normal draft.
Yeah. You know, I would make it akin to a Draftmaster experience, I guess. So,
sure.
No, Mr. Josh Hughes, you can't wait. And but you sound like a lucky guy, and you may win our free team. Bobby just misspoke. He said you get a free league. Actually, I'll sell
yes,
you this
sir.
One, and it's a good time for you to buy it. It's saving me a lot of work. But you'll get a free team if you win that contest.
No.
It's not really particularly free, Bobby, because they've done the work. They've listened to the show.
That's true.
You know, and they filled out the app and application. So that's a good thing.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
Guys, 85 quarterbacks took snaps in NFL league games last year.
How
and
many?
We still can't. 85
wow.
Took snaps in league games. And but the talent level falls off very quickly as who you would want in your two quarterback league. And then we got to know how many points for a touchdown, because if they got two quarterbacks, God only knows what they give in this league for touchdown passes and things like that. And so maybe my advice would be to get one guy who's a classic drop back NFL quarterback. And the other thing would be to try to pair him with a Russell Wilson or a Cam Newton or something like that. Don't get two quarterbacks that look the same. Find two guys that look different and put those on your team.
That makes sense. And so I'm with you. I think I'm comfortable with the depth at quarterback that I would wait. And in that first pick, I would take that elite running back or wide receiver. And, you know, I guess I'll ask this question myself to both of you. When you do that, you're kind of putting yourself on notice that, man, you got to start hitting it. You got to do a good job. You kind of, I don't want to say you put yourself behind the eight ball, but you kind of dove in. Sean, do you like that when you know you've got to kind of try to play catch-up in a draft? Because I actually do.
It definitely raises your intensity, I suppose. The only thing, it depends on what position you're trying to catch up on as well. You know, in that particular league we were talking about, you know, it really is tough, though, if they give those quarterbacks, like Farrell was saying, they give those quarterbacks 6 points apiece. You're spotting guys a lot of points if they had two elite guys and you don't. So, you know, quarterbacks, all these quarterbacks go for, you know, a lot of points, but the elite guys definitely can separate themselves. That's a tough thing. I really have to study that. I haven't played that a whole lot, I have to admit.
Farrell, you like playing catch up?
Did you hear Bobby use another one of those Vermontisms? Doven in. I wrote that down. Doven in. You're really good. I love that. That is so good. Doven in. I would be a little doven in, and I don't want to play catch up on kicker. Remember we talked about it, what happens if I don't get the New England kicker? I don't want to play catch up. No, the worst feeling in a draft is that you're playing catch up in anything. You want to feel like you're way ahead of everybody. So at least you want to feel that at least during the 20 rounds before the season starts You get a rude awakening otherwise. So no, I don't want to be in that vibe. I don't want to be playing catch up.
I like that vibe, and I've just realized that last year. So I almost anyways. Next question, Ted from Nevada. Man, you are right near us. Come on now. I have organized a fantasy football league for my friends and colleagues at work. My question is on trading and waivers. What's the best way to make sure these are done in a fair process? Holy cow, that's a loaded question, Sean. How can he help make sure trading and waivers are done fairly?
Well, number one, you have to be a very trustworthy commissioner. I think you really have to you have to play some. I know, that rules Farrell out, so there we go on that. But
John Ligon.
hopefully you're using a waiver. Hopefully you're using a website that has a blind waiver system. It's so much easier that way. Let them take care of it. I manage several leagues myself, and I've always found there's so much less arguing and so much less debate if whatever, you know, web provider you're using makes those decisions based on blind bidding. If the commissioner has to see all the bids, he has an advantage, because if he wants one of those players himself, all he has to do is bid one more dollar. So take yourself out of it if at all possible, and let the web service do it for you, hopefully.
Feral trading, how do you administer that?
You know I don't like trading, Bobby Butterfield. It's not part of the KFFSC. High Stakes Fantasy Football does not participate in the trading world. But
right.
I would install a trading deadline. I think the trading deadline is the biggest part of how to run a league. Because I've played with in a couple of those leagues a long time ago, and I've watched friends of mine that are in the hunt in the last few weeks, and they actually get on the phone and they just browbeat a poor guy until he agrees to the trade. And, you know, the powers of persuasion of some people are more fluid than others, I will say. And so you know, they will you know, they just can't say no, and so they end up giving this guy deals, and he gets an unbalanced advantage. But I don't know much about trading. I love Ted, though. I'd like to know if we can get Ted on an airplane and get him over here. Now, you guys just picture, Ted's in Nevada. He's in a state where obviously there's not enough sports action, ways to participate. And, you know, Ted comes into work and says, guys, I'm going to organize our fantasy football league because we just don't have enough outlets for getting involved in this sort of thing, so I can see it. So I like Ted already. Yeah, so I need to get Ted to Kentucky. Because God knows I'm
from
Nevada. He owes me a couple.
Yeah, that's true. We've been out there, Ted. Make sure you look us up.
We have dove in out there.
We've dove in.
In Nevada.
I'm saving another one for you, but it's better than dove in. Now, this one is from a friend of both of yours, the famous West Coast talented player, Mr. Jim Cole.
Jimmy Cole.
He graced our preference with a couple of questions tonight. First, with zero running back looking to be the norm this year again, are you more likely to follow the herd and be more of a rebel and maybe go running back early in the first and second round? Sean?
I don't think I can be that big of a rebel this year. I mean, I guess, you know, you never say never because you're not sure what draft position you're going to be in and who's going to fall to you. So, you know, if the right guys were to fall at a certain situation, I can't say I won't do it. But the way the league's going, being so pass-happy, I mean, if you went running back, man, you're going to have to hit very strongly on your middle wide receivers. So, I mean, if you can do that, more power to you, and it would probably give you a big advantage, but that's going to be very tough to do.
Someone will do it. We had a guy a few years ago, four running backs in a row off the board. He can only start two and one flex. I mean, his first four picks, and his team did not perform. But at least he didn't have any problem filling out his lineup at the running back position. You know, Jimmy Cole makes a trip from the West Coast. He makes it worth his while. He plays a lot of teams, and I bet you one of his teams will have that strategy. That's one of the advantages of playing in our league. You can play multiple teams because we have an affordable price point. And guys, let me put on my salesman hat here. But you can play a couple of different ways. You know, when I go out to Ted's home state, you know, if I don't have the printing press working and print up some of that cash, I can't afford the too many teams in that $1,700-$1,800 buy-in in Las Vegas. You can afford the $300 buy-in in Kentucky, and you can put these philosophies and different strategies to work. So, yeah, who's to say you can't work it? Sean, I will remind you, Chris Hibbs won the KFFSC in 2009, and his first receiver was a sixth rounder.
Holy mackerel.
Yeah.
Well, Chris Carroll, Go ahead, Sean.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, and that strategy can definitely work. And, you know, like you said, if everybody's going one way, not so bad to be the only guy going the other way. I mean, you know, you can't – it's like trying to draft by ADP. And like Bear always says, you end up drafting the average team if you go with the average draft position every time. So, yeah, there's nothing wrong with going against the grain, that's for sure.
I learned that from Ron Meyer.
Yeah.
Wisconsin.
I think
the
thing, the most important thing here is I understand Jim's question, but I'm really all in on so many of the experts say the same thing. It's play that board, is watch the board. And Farrell, I don't know which one of the two Cincinnati teams I had, but I'm pretty sure the one that won that championship, if you remember, I think I had three running backs in the first four. And brother, I certainly didn't go into that draft thinking I would even take a running back in the first two rounds. But it was like, so I think you have to adapt the draft. And you're right, Farrell. It gives you a chance to kind of play around. Jim,
you're
never
flexible and fluid, Bobby Butterfield. You're the yoga master of drafting.
The yoga master of drafting could be a title that sticks. Hey, now Jim never will waste opportunity, so he didn't send just one question. What mid-round running back could be this year's Devontae Freeman? I like his running mate, Coleman, actually, to potentially be a guy that could steal carries away. I also, of course, like Duke Johnson and Melvin Gordon, who people are still down on. Sean, Coleman, Johnson, Gordon, another guy you, someone else that maybe you like as a surprise emerging mid-round back?
Yeah, you know, I have to agree with you there, Bobby. I was thinking Duke Johnson myself. I like Duke Johnson. I liked what he did last year. I was only concerned about whether he could stay on the field enough health-wise, but I liked the way they used him last year, and I think that, again, could be a good situation. I also think the Jacksonville running back situation is worth looking at. That team scored a lot of points. They did it mostly through the air last year, but I look for that running game to improve along with the rest of the team, and could be some upside in one of the two Jacksonville backs as well.
I want to look at the draft and see.
Yeah.
I want to find the David Johnson of 2016, and I want to see where he comes from in this draft. And you know, he is truly Jimmy Cole was right on the proverbial nail head, because wasn't Devontae Freeman in Kentucky? Wasn't he a 10th round pick? I mean, that's truly what you would call a middle rounder, isn't it?
Yeah, he was. Yeah. He was deep, Farrell. You're absolutely right.
Right.
Well, for me, we're going to talk about running backs in a little while. So and his last question, because this is right up your alley, Farrell, is what kind of draft opportunities is Farrell giving me this Friday when I show up to draft?
Well, I don't understand the question.
He wants to know what type of drafts you're going to do on Friday for him.
Oh, on Friday. You said this Friday.
Oh,
I was trying
to
figure out what we had scheduled this Friday. You know, anything's possible. So you mean Friday?
Yes.
August 26th at the 14th annual KFFSC. If you'll know how to, if you'll couch that question in the right terms, I'll answer for it. We're going to kick off, guys, at 3 p.m. with the main event draft at 3 p.m. It's our first time we've ever had a main event draft on Friday. We'll have one 3 p.m. We'll also, we're going to throw some other options out there and see who wants to take off their Friday afternoon for work and come join us early. We want to get there. We want to have, Bobby, you're going to be really thrilled. We're putting you and Crafty Balky a real studio together where you will be able to host your podcast from, and we're just going to have a lot going on Friday, and Friday is a day that you don't want to miss in the KFFSC. Get here early.
Yeah, Jimmy wants to land and get right over there and draft with just one minimal pit stop. Okay, quick either-ors. This is from, I love this guy's name, Brilla from South Carolina. He just wants quick either-ors, Sean, and I'm going to go through you first, then I'm going to Farrell for all of them. So 2016 PPR Standard League redraft, Winston or Tannehill?
Tannehill.
Jonathan Stewart
Winston.
Or Jeremy? Oh, Farrell can't wait. He can't wait. So he's with Winston. I agree with these guys. Sean, Jonathan Stewart or Jeremy Langford?
Yeah, Langford, a little bit.
Stewart, more than a little bit.
Yeah, Stewart more than a little bit here, too. Alfred Morris or Darren McFadden? I love that question.
Oh, boy, I have to pick one. Jeez, I'll go McFadden.
McFadden all day long. You can count on Sean Liggins supporting his former Raiders.
Morris for Butterfield. And, of course, that's very draft-dependent. Last one is very interesting. I hadn't even thought about this. And I'm glad I haven't had this in a mock draft problem for me yet. Jordy Nelson or Mike Evans?
Wow.
Yeah.
Jordy Nelson really burned me last year. I'm going to try to overlook that and look at how bad that offense was without him last year. and think that I probably have undervalued him all these years. I'm going to have to go Jordy on that one.
Everything Sean says is right, but I'm going to go with Evans because he's the emerging player. Emerging quarterback. What was this guy's name from South Carolina?
Brillup, like B-R-I-L-L-U-P. Brillup.
Ooh. Nice.
All right, I like that. I like that. Brillup.
Yeah.
All right,
yeah, so sign up, Brillup. You sent a question. You didn't sign up for the free rundown, so you're not eligible to win a free team. So, Brillup, but thanks
for
the question.
Come on, Brillup. Get with it.
Yeah,
it's eligible. You're eligible in South Carolina. Don't ever move.
True.
Stay there.
That's very true. Very true. All right, guys. Everyone still seems to be in love with Ashon Jeffery and the Bears. And I think
Adam Gates.
I call him Ashlon. That's what I've always called him that. So I don't like to change my pronunciations. You can ask Chris about that. We can conversate about that when we're in Louisville if you want, Farrell.
Chris X. Well,
there you go.
Okay.
Chris X.
Okay. Ashlon Jeffery.
Ashlon Jeffery. Anyways, I'm very concerned about this Bear team with Adam Gase leaving. So my question is to you guys. Jeffery, Kevin White coming back, Martellus Bennett's leaving, Zach Miller's in. Matt Forte's leaving. Jeremy Lackford's in. Sean, I see a big letdown in this offense this year.
Oh, yeah. I think, in a real football sense, I think this team's headed way in the wrong direction. And, I agree. I still think Ashon or whatever pronunciation we're going to use this evening will
Abyssinian Jeffery.
But, it depends on, again, how healthy is he going to stay? It was a nightmare last year. And, Cutler does seem to lock on one target. So if he's out there, I imagine he'll get plenty of looks. But, man, he's got to be out there.
Well, what do you think about this Bear?
I didn't understand the question.
Are you talking to me? I don't know. Are you talking to me? I am the fantasy yoga master. No, hey, so my point is people are drafting Jeffery just like they drafted him last year. And I'm looking at that Jay Cutler, who I think is an inconsistent quarterback who puts up numbers but has had some wicked terrible years. You take away Adam Gase, you take away Martellus Bennett, you take away Matt Forte, and you give him Zach Miller and a rookie Kevin White coming back. I've got some concerns about putting Jeffery on my team, period.
I think you're thinking too hard, Bobby Butterfield. You take a look at what the kid down in Houston did with four quarterbacks last year, a couple of them coming off the street on a team that was, didn't have their star running back for most of the season and didn't have a lot of contributors on offense, and you see what happened there. I think if you've got a wonderful receiver, a gifted player like these two. And I throw Evans into that mix. That's why I went Evans over Nelson very slightly, but I went that way anyway when we were throwing around Barilla's Barilla or whatever his name was.
Barilla.
So anyway, yes, you're overthinking that. You're going to get yourself in trouble because it's April and you're overthinking. And by the time we get to the draft, you're not going to know what to do. You're going to be taking kickers in the sixth round. You're going to be confused about the Cleveland running back situation. It's going to be a bad situation for you.
But if I keep overthinking it, by August I'll have come 360 right around where no one else is. So that's beautiful. Jeffery, I'm just going to say this. I think you just massively insulted DeAndre Hopkins. I think to put Hopkins in the same category as Jeffery, I'm going to let Sean answer that first, but I'm going to tell you right now, Hopkins is definitely a better wide receiver than Jeffery. Sean?
Oh, I agree with that, too.
Yeah, I mean, I think...
But incrementally better, Sean Ligon. It's not like you can separate them. It's not like night and day like Bobby Butterfield was trying to talk about.
That's the agent.
But Jeffery, I mean, as bad as Cutler is, Cutler looked like an all-pro compared to what Hopkins had throwing to him last year. And Hopkins seems to put up numbers no matter what. So I do think Hopkins is somewhat of a freak. I think Ashon Jeffery is in a good situation is because I don't think there's any other guys that are really challenging for that number one role. So I
That's
think,
true.
Just that necessity And out of them being behind in every game, which I certainly expect, they don't have to throw the ball a lot. So he should be a target monster again, no matter what, I think.
This incremental remark, Farrell, that's just the agent in you talking right now. That's not the fantasy commissioner.
I think the agent in me is talking all the time. I don't think he won't even shut up. Most you know, you don't hear me talking, and that guy is still talking. So that's all I'm saying.
Hey, so reminder, everybody, on the website, allpurposeroto.com, is that contest Farrell was talking about. You sign up to get our rundown dispatch newsletter, very brief. We will not bore you. It's about one page long with a couple little news tidbits that we won't talk about on the show. You'll get that sometimes from Farrell because he does a newsletter as well. You will not get seven of these things a week. So just go there, sign up for our weekly rundown. And with that, Farrell, if you sign up, you're eligible for what?
Well, you're eligible to become part of the Kentucky Fantasy Football State Championship in any way that you would like to, and that's what you need to do. This is the first step. You're also eligible to win a team because we're going to take a drawing from all the first-year players, all the rookies, all the guys that have never been here, and we're going to have a drawing, and we're going to award one of those teams. Now, our first newsletter, the content of our first newsletter will be coming out in May, and it's tradition that doesn't really have anything to do with nationwide tradition. A lot of the guys aren't really concerned about this, but traditionally we don't start until after the NFL draft and after the Kentucky Derby. And so we'll start again in May, and we'll be bringing those newsletters. Now, I don't know what Bobby Butterfield's part of the newsletter is going to lead off with, but we're blessed in Kentucky to have the University of Louisville dance team as our facilitators, and our first newsletter is going to show a sampling of four girls that have moved on from the University of Louisville and from the KFFSC and have gone on to be professional dancers in the NFL and NBA. We have a Cleveland Cavalier, a Dallas Cowboy, an Atlanta Falcon, and there is a girl that just joined the team with the Indy Colts. So we'll give a tip of the hat to them for helping us out for all these years, and that's what will be across our newsletter. So it's really not a bad thing. I think you have to apologize for our content, Bobby Butterfield.
Well, you
and
know, people,
we're also going to tell you how to win at fantasy football. I like this Josh Hughes guy. I think he's going to do well. He'll come down here trying to draft six or seven quarterbacks on his team. It'll be great.
And that's what I like, actually, about this contest. You get a chance to win a team, and if you're coming over here, you have a team. It makes the whole event for you as a first-timer very affordable. You can decide, hey, I'm getting out here. I can go ahead and get another team, like Farrell talked about, and you get those kind of that first draft out of your belt, so to speak, and then you get to have a second one, kind of try a new strategy, which is what I was talking about at the beginning of the show. I kind of like having my drafts be different because, you know, I guess, you know, we don't, let's just be honest, we don't all do this to win. We do this because of what it feels like during the year, and we do this to the fun it is when you have these funny, insane things happen. So anyways, yeah, great promo, allpurposeroto.com, and we'll get you out that rundown. Guys, back to some football, a team that I think is a bargain team, a team that does have some talent that will be underdrafted, and I'm targeting, and that's the New Orleans Saints, Sean. They've done some pretty decent work to shore up that defense, and they had very little money to do it, but they've done it. So with a better defense, with a healthy Drew Brees they didn't trade, Brandon Cooks coming back healthy for week one, Coleman for week one, Kobe Fleener there now, Mark Ingram ready to tote the ball. Is this an offense that's going to rebound up?
Yeah, I think they probably will. I mean, I think we can come back to, hopefully Sean Payton is going to get off this thing where they're just a running team. I think he's trying. I think the last couple of years he's really tried to transition this team into more of a running team, and it just hasn't really panned out for him. They need to go back to what their identity's always been, and it seems like, you know, with that personnel, hopefully that's what they're going to try to do. With a little bit of improved defense, maybe that translates into, you know, a better product for them this year. But you know, Cooks was such a hot guy last year and got so overdrafted. Maybe he comes back down to earth this year and, you know, we can actually be able to draft him somewhere this year.
This is a team that fascinates me in the draft, and I want to see.
Yeah.
We'll have an indication about who they draft on what side of the ball is what they feel about this offense. You've got to love Fleener coming down to this team. I think all the things we thought about Fleener can now be realized with the Nolan Saints. Bobby, you got to pronounce
like
that.
That
like you're in the
Nolan,
South.
I got it, brother.
Nolan. Not New Orleans. Hell, nobody will know where, you know. If you go down there and ask, how do I get to New Orleans, shit, you're no telling where you'll end up. They don't even know.
Are they going to send me to Louisiana?
Yeah, you don't even know where you'd be. But Fleener in this, I would like to, you know, give me a number, guys. How many passes are you talking about Cooks catching this year?
Cooks, I like for 80.
Sean? I think Cooks probably a little higher than that. I think Cook's probably 95.
Yeah, I had him 85, so that's impressive. So what is overdrafting him? You know, I think that's what we got to figure out is you know, how high do you draft this guy then? You know, he maybe with those kind of numbers, maybe he can't be overdrafted.
No, I mean, go ahead, Sean.
Oh, I was going to say maybe not. You know, Cooks is the kind of guy you like to pair with that number one monster guy because you're pretty much sure that he's going to have a solid baseline every week. They run so many little bubble passes to him and everything else. You know, the one thing that people would knock him about a little bit is, you know, he doesn't score that many touchdowns, but he had several long touchdowns last year. You know, the only problem is you can't catch those. But he always has a nice baseline and very rarely gives you a very bad score anyway.
That's a solid player to have. And if you want to get Bobby Butterfield all excited, try comparing him to DeAndre Hopkins. He'll dove in and get in a fight with you on that one. It'll be great.
Hopkins is a beast. He is a man among children, and Jeffrey can't even. Yeah, Jeffrey's a. He is not incrementally better, but we'll have more discussion about that.
Hey, it's Sean. Can you see being in a Bobby Butterfield division and wonder how many dollars he's going to pay to that number one position to draft Hopkins this year? I love it.
You know, that's something we haven't talked about too. Is gosh, do I miss that strategy of when we get there at the horseshoe bidding on your draft spot, because the question we had earlier about starting up your league, you asked about fair trades and fair waivers. Don't forget fair draft positions. The idea of letting teams not drawn out of the hat, you spend some of your money to your free agent money to pick your draft spot. That is such a fun strategy point. Anyways, Brandon Cooks, 17th ranked wide receiver on Fantasy Pros right now. That's down there, boys. So that's they've got comfortably putting people like Keenan Allen and Julian Edelman ahead of him. I have a problem with that. I don't think I would take Cooks over both Edelman. How about you, Sean? Would you take him over Edelman? And
strangely enough, even though they don't have the same physical attributes, they're very much a similar player. You know, both guys are high volume solid guys that you love to put on the field because you know what you're going to get. So, you know, I can understand those two guys being in the same range. Now, Keenan Allen, to me, might have a little more upside than either one of those guys because, to me, he's more of a red zone target than either one of those two. And he's a bigger wide receiver. But in the same way, he also gets a tremendous amount of targets.
Yeah, seems like those boys over at Pro Football are holding a terrible grudge against old Brandon Cooks. Might be something historically going on there.
Well, and that, like I said, that's an okay. That's a great thing when we like to look for that value. And so you asked a question on catches there, Farrell. I was hoping you were going to ask on Fleener because, man, the tight end group has mushroomed so big. You do not want to take a tight end early if you don't have Gronk. There's no need. It's such a mushroom group this year, and Fleener's certainly part of that, Farrell. I'll go to you first. I was hoping you were going to ask me how many catches for Fleener, so I'll ask you to go first instead. How many catches for Fleener in this offense?
77.
Yeah, baby.
Wow. Well, I think we would all take that. I was thinking somewhere around 70. It seems no matter who the tight end is in New Orleans, they like to use them. They have a lot of success, but they also seem to spread it around a little bit. So I'll be conservative and say 70.
Yeah, I think he's 75 and up. I think we're going to see a lot of Kobe Fleener, and them having him ranked after guys like Ebron and Gates and Burnage, I think, is a big mistake myself. Farrell, do you agree with that?
Let me throw you guys a quick question.
Yeah.
Which tight end, and you might include some of those you just said, but I'll use Jimmy Graham. Jimmy Graham or Fleener, which one of those guys reminds you more of a wide receiver?
Of a wide receiver? Kobe Fleener.
Yeah, I would say
the greatest thing. The greatest thing that Fleener does is run that skinny post. I think that middle of the field is going to be wide open for him, and it's going to be a thing of beauty. It's going to be a different passing attack to the tight end of what we saw with Graham, and the red zone comes into effect there. But it may produce just as many fantasy points. It's a return to a very, very pivotal and spotlighted position at the New Orleans tight end spot again.
And that they missed with a let's say inarguably a top eight quarterback, even if he has a down year. So again, to have a tight end, I always want my tight end on offense that moves the ball. Of course, everybody does. That's a stupid thing to say, but people kind of get excited about guys who had big years. I'm not going to invest in Gary Barnage in that offense when I can get Kobe Fleener around later. That's crazy, right, Sean?
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, like you said, if you don't have Gronk, you know, we talked about, you know, a couple shows back, there may be a tier right under that. But after that, there's a big group that you should just take based on value. Don't get married to one guy.
Yeah, I agree. I agree 100%. Now, hey, we are here mostly advertising free for all of you, and the Tuesday show is a compliment, really, of Farrell organizing his event and his experts and players. It does speak volumes, folks, that so many of his players are willing to give up their nights, and Sean, their nights, and then the rest of the guests, the rest of the summer. In the fall, we will continue to have them. It tells you a little bit about this weird sort of barnacle-like attraction we have with Farrell. So it tells you it's a fun event. Farrell, Cincinnati on August 20th, and then Louisville or the Horseshoe Casino in Indiana, 26th, 27th, and 28th. Did I get the dates right, Farrell?
Buddy, you're doing a pretty good job there this weekend or tonight. You're doing a good job. I have the biggest challenge right now being so busy. It's just figuring out what day it is. So I appreciate you coming with the right dates, because I probably could not have corrected you. If we have any music fans in the audience, I really think the theme song of this upcoming show is this upcoming season is going to come from Louisville's own My Morning Jacket, and it's going to be entitled One Big Holiday. It's one of their best songs, and that's truly what we've got for fantasy football players. We've got one big holiday.
Yeah,
and you'll forget
that
about everything else that you're dealing with. So come here, play fantasy football, and win.
Yeah, it's a good time. Get Farrell at KFFSC.com, or we'll give his email address later in 502-523-5057. It's on the episode information. Sean, 2 days away.
With the first pick in the 2015 NFL Draft, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers select Jameis Winston.
They went crazy with that pick, Sean. Are we going to have the same thing happen this year, back-to-back quarterbacks?
It certainly seems like it. Truly, those teams wouldn't have spent all the picks and all the effort they did to get up there if they weren't going to take quarterbacks. So, yeah, I certainly think we're going to see combination. I think Goff's going to go first, and Wentz to follow. I think that's the only way it can go.
Wentz should go first. I can't believe that he's not going first. Oh, I guess the reason I can believe it is that you've got a California team. They're taking a California quarterback. I think this whole thing about having the team in L.A. was making a splash, so that's why they wanted to get the first pick. There's a lot of marketing A lot of marketing going on there, I think. You know, I got Brandon Hakey was probably our most successful across the board owner in the KFFSC this year. And and everybody remembers that Brandon,
that killer.
You know, Brandon came in with this idea that he was going to draft. He called it his Dirty Sanchez theory. And he was going to draft Bradford and Sanchez because no one was drafting Sanchez. So he would wait on Bradford, and then he would get Sanchez with the 20th pick. And he thought he had the juggernaut of the Philadelphia offense covered. And so he was scrambling for quarterbacks off it throughout the year. And I was thinking about it today because it looks like Wentz is now going to go to Philadelphia. Bradford and his agent very publicly
and very much
with a crying towel attached are saying that they want out of there. And, boy, that's the wrong city to have a crying towel in, but I digress. But, you know, wouldn't it be, and it's not going to happen, but wouldn't it be hilarious if there was a trade and Bradford somehow found his way to Denver where Hakey could come again and work the Dirty Sanchez magic into the Bradford-Sanchez combination. That would just – Hakey would arrive at the draft in late July just to get ready to have that. It just – it's so much fun. But, I was very unimpressed with Bradford in the camp this year. Very unimpressed.
Well, I think you're pointing out something pretty interesting because – I don't know if they want a young quarterback going into that locker room with Bradford feeling the way he is. And if it wasn't for the fact Chase Daniels was also there, Farrell, I would say, hey, they're going to figure this out with Bradford and he's going to be their guy. But they could limp along with Chase just fine. You know, you having your NFL bloodlines and history there, Chase could be the guy to quarterback this team this year, couldn't he?
No. Maybe. I don't know. Who knows? I don't know the crystal ball. I broke that thing a long time ago, put it in the garage. Don't know where it is. It's the reason that they can't trade Bradford is too much money against the cap this year. However, Denver might be able to pull that off. If Bradford should, they want to keep the rookie quarterback on the bench. Bradford should come and have two great years. If you can't keep Daniel on the bench, it's not going to work out anywhere anyway. So Bradford should come and have two great years in that contract and then get out of Philadelphia and prove that he could be one of the top-paid quarterbacks in 2018. I really don't understand what's happening there, but nevertheless, we'll see how it all works out. Man, Chase Daniel is small. Chase Daniel is a short quarterback.
They paid him well, and they brought him from Kansas City where Peterson was, Farrell. So I believe they took him as they knew he was a top-caliber backup, and they were going to roll with Bradford. So are we
that's
all just slam dunking this is going to be a quarterback, and the Eagles are ready to pull a fast one and get that left tackle that they really should draft?
You mean are they not going to draft Carson Wentz?
Right.
Sean, go ahead and answer that first.
No, I'm pretty sure they're going to draft him. And, you know, maybe we're overlooking something. Maybe Chip Kelly's still in love with Sam Bradford. He brings him to San Francisco.
And
Kaepernick up in Denver. So you never know. I mean, let's get exciting and think of all the possibilities.
I don't know whether to drive to Eastern Kentucky or Western Kentucky and who to slap first with this logic that you two are bringing. But, you know, yes, they're going to draft Wentz. And I think we've got to figure out who the Philadelphia Eagles are. This is a team that, two of the last three years have had say again?
No kidding. We got to figure out who they are. They got some players that are killing us with them.
Well, you know, Kelly broke the team down and flipped the roster, but these are teams that, you know, this team won two and had two double-digit win seasons in the last three. Do you decide that you're going to put this rookie quarterback out there and let him play? And that's what I would do before I played Chase Daniel. This rookie quarterback Wentz, I think this kid's the real deal. And if I'm drafting him, he's going to be my quarterback sooner than later.
Well, there we have it. This young second-year player is saying all the right things. His offensive line is massively improved. I think it was Mr. Cole who brought him up earlier. I want to know your guys' thoughts.
With the 15th pick in the 2015 NFL Draft, the San Diego Chargers select Melvin Gordon, running back, Wisconsin.
Sean, you mentioned this guy earlier. I like his offensive line. I like his draft position. He's saying complimentary things about his bad year. It was his fault, not his team's. What do you think about the second-year player?
Yeah, it seems like he just got off to a bad start last year. Then once he got back in there, you know, something would happen. He would fumble. He would just make a bad play. You know, I don't know if he had trouble picking up protection since, you know, they were very rarely ever threw the ball at Wisconsin. He may have not known what pass protection was. Hopefully he's going to be a lot better at that this year. I like him only for the reason that you're talking about, is that people are going to be so far off of him this year that you know, he had such great expectations last year. I like targeting those kind of guys because often they do bounce back in their second year. So I think there is some good value in Mr. Gordon.
Guys, wait till he rolls up a couple great runs in the exhibition games. And wait, you know, if the draft were today, I think it's pretty exciting where you would get him. I think that excitement's going to be tempered by all the buzz.
Yeah, I think a healthy wide receiving crew, clarity at tight end, Gates coming back healthy, even though, you know, the guy still gets in position and Rivers trust him to the nth degree. The offensive line better. I think this guy currently, like Farrell said, great value now. Let's see if it holds on. Which one of these quarterbacks will underperform this year? One of them's gonna, guys. One of these top quarterbacks, okay? Luck, Brady, Rodgers, then Wilson, Newton, Big Ben, and Dalton. So those are the big, let's call them the big seven. Andrew Luck, Brady, Rodgers, Wilson, Newton, Big Ben, and Dalton. Which guy do you think is going to not just underperform, but severely underperform?
Wow. That's a tough question. I mean, I guess the obvious answer is Brady because he's going to miss four games possibly. And his expectations are so high. You know, I don't know that I put Andy Dalton in that same elite category, so I might not have the same expectations for him. So, you know, I would go with Dalton out of that crew. The rest of those guys seem to be pretty solid. I can't imagine Luck can be as bad as he was last year, so I would expect him to bounce back. I guess I'll go with Dalton out of that group.
Mr. Elliott.
Dalton shouldn't have been in that question, Bobby Butterfield. Sean's got it right. Brady is the guy. Sean, what do you think are his, you know, when he comes back, what do you think the odds are going to be that he wouldn't be sharp? I don't think there's a risk there, but I think the opportunity for him is there. The guy that has the biggest opportunity to stink it up to me is Luck. You know, we saw how things would happen when they're not running on all cylinders in Indianapolis last year, and this team's got to do some things to improve, and we'll have to see. But I think that's, of all the guys you gave us, it's unlikely, but I think he's, of that group, he's the one most likely to continue to struggle.
Well, I like that question because that was a very manipulative question. Dalton's in there on purpose because I knew he'd get dished by both of you guys, and I'm going to follow up with questions about A.J. Green now that they've lost two other wide receivers. So now we've said Dalton doesn't belong there. Dalton's coming back from an injury. Dalton's lost two great wide receivers, not great, but two very good wide receivers. He's lost his offensive coordinator that worked magic with him. He just got A.J. Green now. Is Green like Jeffrey, where I'm looking at him going, I'm not necessarily thinking he's my number one elite slam dunk wide receiver in round one. Sean?
Yeah, I've always kind of felt that way about AJ Green. It's not necessarily because of the player. It's more of the situation and the team he's on. But to me, you know, I kind of feel the same way about him that you do about Alshon Jeffrey. he's a good player. If he was somewhere else, I might like him a lot better. But he's probably not a guy. To me, he always seems to be, in my mind, overdrafted. So I'll probably stay away from A.J. Green, if at all possible.
Yeah, that's been connected that way, Sean. You're dead on. Did you say dished Bobby Butterfield?
I did.
Dished?
I did. Yep.
You know, see, it's not dished.
It's
dissed.
Yeah, I know.
As
but
disrespected. Dished,
yeah, but
is, that's no.
Fancy football jargon is dished. I'm not a player. I can't say I dissed you. I'm not an 19-year-old. I'm an old guy trying to have
well,
fun.
Well, yeah,
but
dish doesn't dude. Have any meaning to an old guy, to a young
does
guy,
now.
Or anything. Okay. That was good.
Now, you know what, though?
I love it.
Something you said that I think is very important to highlight. You mentioned something because it's in the back of your head and you're thinking about it. You mentioned Andrew Luck as being a guy to be concerned about. And it dovetails into a little bit of what we were going to talk about today, but we're going to run out of time, and that's okay. But I look at an organization, an ownership, a GM partnership, what that team's been doing. This team is not functioning well as an organization, Farrell. And this offseason, they didn't get Andrew Luck a lot of help. So, I mean, why should we think things are going to be better for Andrew Luck? You tell me.
We'll see it in the draft. We'll see it in the draft. I think last year was an aberration. I think he'll bounce back for that. But in the list you gave me, it's one of the best years I ever had in fantasy football. I got Andrew Luck in the eighth round, you know, and that made a huge difference for me because he had a great year. And I teamed him up with his little receiver, Hilton. And so, you know, you might be able to get that situation again this year. I doubt it, but you might be. But I think you can be somewhat leery. I think our boy Josh with the two quarterbacks, he can be somewhat leery about Andrew Luck.
Sean, they didn't do much to help that offense line in free agency. They're coming back with Frank Gore as their running back one. Their tight end, their wide receiver two is now Dante Moncrief, who, if that was going to be the guy, why didn't you get him more targets during the season? Philip Dorsett, who we like as an electrifying player, they've definitely demonstrated the lack of an ability to understand how to use a player like that. I mean, I seriously think this team went backwards, and I don't think it matters what they do in the draft, Sean.
Yeah, I think it would take a sterling draft for us to change our mind on what this team is overall. You know, since Luck came in the league, he's kind of had this, you know, he was automatically crowned the
yes.
next coming of Peyton Manning, the next great guy. I think it's because yep. he's so likable and the press just loves him. And they seem to give him passes on just about everything he does. I mean, the guy has always thrown a lot of interceptions. He's always forced the ball. I don't think he's the greatest. I think we crowned him way too early
yes.
in the national media anyway. And I think that's clouded people's perception in real life and in fantasy.
Farrell, I mean,
that's a very good point.
Is it? I mean, let's be honest, Farrell. I know you walk these lines kind of carefully at times, but could I actually say it was bad luck that Andrew Luck ended up going to the Colts? Because that organization, I mean, they have owned this team for, 40 years. Their winning percentage is .500. Their playoff percentage is less than 50%. Even with all those Manning years, they got so lucky with Manning. People really kind of down on this ownership. Is it bad luck? Luck went to Indianapolis.
No, it's good luck he went to Indianapolis. It's good luck.
That's because he's so close to you.
Bobby, that's one of those.
Yeah, we're going to navigate
hypotheticals, and that's why your brain's going to melt on draft day if you keep coming up with stuff like that. People will say, "Where's Bobby Butterfield?" I'll say, "Well, he's sitting over in the corner with his brain melting." You know,
I'm over there.
We don't want your brain to melt.
If you guys had caught me at Farrell's draft or Lager in Vegas, there was one point, Sean, you would have loved me out in Vegas. I was out in the lobby and I was entering in the picks of like 20 boards into my spreadsheet trying to figure out where guys were going during the day. That's what Farrell's talking about, where your brain starts to melt. And about 12 rounds into it, I said, okay, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm just going to go in and draft my
guy.
He
was trying to figure out who the third Browns running back was going to be. You know, that was what he was doing. And it was we had to have an intervention, right?
You did have an intervention on me, that's true. Well, you know, Dion Lewis was a guy, Dion Lewis was a player. I was really trying to make sure I could get him, and it was just hilarious to watch where he went in all the drafts. But let's wrap up with a quick question on your choice, guys, running backs or quarterbacks. How about quarterback twos? Rivers?
Is there a question in there,
yeah,
Bobby?
It's coming. Well, I'm contemplating it. You know, I'm more thoughtful now, Farrell. This is a year I'm trying to remind myself to talk slower, to be not so passionate so people can hear me better. And I'm trying to
be responsive. No, Bobby, we want you to make up words and expressions that no one has heard outside of the state of Vermont. We want that experience without having to go to Vermont. We want you never to change, Bobby Butterfield.
You know, I'm truck shopping. I've so much embraced my Kentucky friends and family and neighborhood. I'm currently truck shopping, Farrell.
Are you?
That's it, man. That's the last vestige. The hybrid's being sold so I can get a truck.
Yeah. I love it. He's trading in the hybrid for a truck.
For a truck. Yeah, and I want it to be like my goal is a 2007 Ford F-150.
Yeah,
all right. Hoorah, let's go. If only the Dolphins could adopt and adapt like I have and start deciding to play a little football. I hope they draft Reggie Ragland tomorrow, by the way, or Thursday. I want them to get the Alabama running linebacker. That's a player they need. You know why I want him to draft him? So that he beats the snot out of Kiki Alonso in draft and in practice, and they just kick that guy off the team. I want a football player on the team. And I want him to beat up Ndamukong Suh. I want him to kick him in the butt, too. Anyway, let's wrap the show up. Quarterback twos, Sean, which guy are you the most comfortable with as your quarterback one? Because you've passed on that first tier. Phillip Rivers, Eli Manning, Farrell's Derek Carr, Blake Bortles, or Jay Cutler?
Blake Bortles, slam dunk for me.
Wow.
It's easy. I want to put Carr and Bortles on the same team as much as I can. And Rivers, I expect to have a bounce back year. You know, Rivers guys, year before last, what was it, 15th, 16th round, you could still pick him up.
Oh, yeah.
14th,
he was your
15th, 16th.
Yes.
And that season, and we talked about it on a previous show, but that season he had a run of five games that was just incredible. And I'm going to look at the schedules, and I'm going to do the best. We talked a little bit about strength of schedule last time on the show, and we dismissed it. And it got me thinking about how often do I use the schedule, and that's one of the things I want to do with a quarterback. I think Sean thinks Bortles is much better than Carr. I think they're a little closer. But from what I know now, I want to see if I can get both those guys. I want to see if I can pair them, see how they pair up week to week because, I know Carr's got to go to Denver, and I wouldn't be pleased to start him that week.
Right.
So I'm hoping Bortles is hosting the Indianapolis team. And when Bortles plays against the Houston Texans, I would like to play Carr. So that's something that I'm going to do. But either one of those guys, I'm going to find the two quarterback with a schedule that supplements and supports my number one quarterback.
That's a great wrap there, Farrell, because we dissed the strength of schedule too quickly. And you're right. Pairing and complimenting your other quarterback because of his matchups is nothing to be snickered at. That's a real good point because there are some elite defenses that if you can afford them, afford to have another player there because you were smart enough to look at what's going on with Derek Carr that week, or say you ended up with Phillip Rivers, you don't want to draft a quarterback who's going to, when he's on the bye, that quarterback's playing the Texans. That's exactly what Farrell's talking about. So great advice.
Hey, I want a new segment. And I really appreciate that because our listeners who are very smart people that you just translated to them in your Vermontese exactly what I just said. You know, I appreciate that. But, you know, one of the things I want to get to in something is I think we should have in the wrap-up, I think we should have a situation where just things that we didn't get to that our hosts, that I know are on your mind, Bobby,
oh.
but you didn't get to them. And I'm going to throw it to Sean in case there might be something that just,
good
Sean,
idea.
Is there anything out there that the Bobby Butterfield didn't say that you want to talk about?
Well, you know, I think we were going to talk about the ownership situation. I was going to say the only thing I can say to that was my favorite owner has a lot of money and very little involvement in the front office. That's an ideal owner for me.
And who is that, Sean?
Anybody besides Jerry Jones, pretty much.
But, you know, they're all becoming more like Jerry. Even 92-year-old Mrs. Ford that took to the podium after she fired everybody last year, and I loved it because the rest of the world gets to see my reality in working with my lovely 92-year-old mother. But I digress. The thing I wanted to talk about is now, based on what has happened with Carolina and the Washington Foreskins, we're going to get the opportunity to view Josh Norman and number 13 going against each other twice next season, and I'm looking forward to that.
And Dez Bryant twice also.
There you go. We'll get to see if he's really what he thinks he is. The Foreskins sure thought he was. You know, they have now 28% of their salary cap invested in two players.
Who's the other guy, Farrell?
Quarterback.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
Captain Kate?
That's a ton of money. Well, I think that is a good segment because you're right. It's just too much for me to remember what all of you knuckleheads want to talk about. So I like that actually. That's very true. Folks, it's the 26th, 27th, and 28th. And not to shortchange that, that's the live drafts. As we get closer, you will hear about all the online drafts that Farrell helps run with the KFFFC with various formats. And those 3 days, also the horseshoe, there's various formats like the auction. My favorite is there. In August 20th, the weekend before, up in Cincinnati, you can find Farrell at KFFFC.com or at 502-523-5057. And for heaven's sake, go to AllPurposeRoto.com and enter yourself into the daily rundown so you can win a free team to get down there. Not a free division. We're going to work on that for
next
year.
Not a free league.
But a free team and maybe a free beer from Bob if you get down there. So, Farrell, say thanks, everyone. Kick us out of here, buddy.
Sean, thanks. Bobby, thanks. All the listeners, thanks for joining us. We're trying to figure out a way that will help you win whatever fantasy contest you're playing in. We want you to come to Kentucky and play in ours because we guarantee you the most fun you've ever had playing fantasy football. It's the NFL draft this weekend. I have several free agent clients, guys, that I may need some help just trying to figure out where to send them. 502-523-5057. Give me a call and we'll talk some fantasy football.
Rock on. No Frank Gordon, Josh Robinson this year. Thank you, Sean. Good show, Farrell. 48 hours, boys. I really like Josh Robinson. Bad, man. Bad. Draft.